This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3994, for Thursday, the 23rd of November, 2023. Today's show is entitled LastPass Response. It is hosted by Operator and is about 13 minutes long. It carries an explicit flag. The summary is I talk about LastPass.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Hacker Public Radio with your host, Operator. So I'm going to respond to episode 3989 with Ahuka, who talked about LastPass, and just kind of give some general guidance for people around security and what you can do to help prevent some of that stuff. And what I'll say is the easiest thing to do is, you know, make sure your browser is up to date, right? The browser itself is a sandbox. Make sure the browser is up to date. And for the instances that your software is not up to date, what you do is you create a new user. You don't make them an administrator user. And you specify a single folder for their downloads to go into that you share back and forth. Meaning that if you were to accidentally run something or run an executable or anything like that, it's only going to affect that internet user, which doesn't actually have anything on it, and it doesn't have anything for them to escalate to your stuff, your user to. So it's another sandbox. So they escape out of the sandbox of your browser, or you execute something that causes some kind of code execution, be it old software, whatever. Just use a different user. That way they have to move laterally to your user and get code execution that way. There's just not a lot of options for people. Once they land in a user, they have to pivot to another user and then try to pivot to local administrator and then try to pivot some other means to get, you know, execution of, you know, higher level stuff. So I would say the best thing people can do is install, you know, Privacy Badger, install an ad blocker and ad block, and basically that will protect you from a lot of attacks, because these websites are all gross and all these places that you get spam from are sometimes often watering hole attacks for other types of services. So for example, if you're hosting a banner or posting some ad content or a CDN, those have been known to get serve up malware or serve up malicious JavaScript that will forward you off to some kind of malicious page that will have you execute code, which when that happens, it won't really matter because you'll be a local restricted user and it won't have internet access. So that's kind of where I'm at. You know, with LastPass, yes, they were breached, but everybody's going to get breached or is breached. And I would almost argue that LastPass with, you know, it's going to take change. Change takes time, especially the bigger organizations. I would argue that, you know, LastPass is going to be more secure or as secure as the other, as their peers after getting hit, you know, several times. So, you know, everybody in your neighborhood has the same locks, right? Everybody in your neighborhood has the same setup. Everybody, it's all the same houses, all the same doors, all the same locks. You know, and if your neighbor gets breached or compromised, right? If they get broken into their house and something happens, then maybe you buy new locks, but that's not really going to happen. The person that got breached or the person house that got broken into, they're probably going to change their locks. They're at least going to upgrade their locks. Maybe they'll put in a kick plate. Maybe they'll, you know, set up some grass blast break sensors. Maybe they'll set up monitoring and cameras, right? But the neighbor's not going to do much about it. Even if the neighbor might not even know about it. So with that said, you know, not everybody in the neighborhood is going to upgrade all their security when one person gets breached. The only person that's going to upgrade their security is the person that gets breached. So I would argue someone that gets breached and gets breached enough to where they're publicly kind of humiliated several times, their security is going to be better over time, which is not necessarily true. But I would argue that everybody gets compromised. And if you get the naughty stick waved at you enough, you will eventually start prioritizing security and then at least be as good, if not better, than your peers on the security side. So that's just my two cents. I would almost rather someone that's been breached, or at least publicly telling that they've been breached, because they've all been breached. Everyone's been breached, whether they like it or not, or whether they detect it. You can't prove a negative, so I can't say that we haven't been breached. You can't say that you haven't been breached, because it's the thing that doesn't bear any fruit unless someone does something with that data. So your computer might have been breached 10 times, but since there was no useful information on it, or there was no useful data on it, or maybe you didn't fit up a specific profile, then they didn't come back in and escalate or use you as a proxy or use you for denial of service or whatever. So just because you don't know that you got breached or whatever doesn't mean something happened on your computer at some point in time. So anyways, I hope that kind of helps somebody out. It's kind of event slash kind of giving some perspective to folks, because you know everybody's been breached in some form or capacity. And just because they're not on the news doesn't mean they weren't breached. We're talking about global companies, companies that operate in Rhode Island, companies that operate in California, where laws and breach notifications are different. And the way it works in the States, as far as I know, is if you can't prove data left the company, then you don't have to report that you were breached. So what do? We don't log anything. We don't tell anybody about anything. We don't have logs for when we do have things. We don't want to know when something bad happened, because if we know something bad happened, then we have to, you know, report it as a breach. So that mentality is still around companies that get breached and want to have an easy out or an easy excuse. And the way to follow all this based on the podcast is follow the insurance companies, right? Insurance companies are going bananas with this. You know, we've got started out, you know, reasonable prices on breach insurance, and now they're putting all these clauses in there, and you have to get extra riders for stuff like ransomware or non-nation state attacks or non-acts of war, because they're realizing these companies are getting breached, and then they're just trying to use the insurance to be like, oh, well, I don't, you know, whatever. So they're raising their requirements for audit and doing actual testing before they onboard them. And then they're not giving them these carte blanche policies that just let them get breached however often they want. And then, okay, well, here's $3 million. Have a nice day. They lost a lot of money doing that. So now they're realizing that this is a bigger problem than, you know, we really think about. So I think the insurance companies guide in based on how much cyber insurance is, if that's even a thing anymore, based on how expensive cyber insurance is and gets, that basically tells us the state of information security as a whole, right? Insurance, if anybody knows anything, insurance companies know risk, because that's their business, is understanding risk, not consulting companies, not, you know, oddball, you know, consultants that come in and big consulting firms that come in and try to pretend like they know what they're talking about. And then they just take data from your organization and reprint it and put it on a different header and put it in a slide deck. And then, you know, pretend like that's something different, when all of their employees and team leaders and people that actually do the work have been telling them for 10 years the same problems. It's the insurance companies that have that true visibility, because when something bad does happen, then they go in and they realize that nobody's logging anything, nobody's watching anything, nobody's reacting to anything, nobody's actively looking for anything, nobody is, you know, there's very little in that space. And as things happen, and as we, you know, approach this AI stuff, you know, we're talking about AIs interacting with APIs, and that is a job security if I've ever heard it, right? If you can imagine any API or any company that has a UI interface or a web UI interface or a API to access, we're going to start seeing APIs access other APIs with AI. And that's going to be part of people's business, is using these tools to accelerate business and accelerate everything else, right? And so the idea that I've heard is that, you know, once we start having APIs and AIs talk to themselves, things are going to get sideways pretty quickly, right? That is opening the door to all kinds of misuse from attackers and unintentional things, and people are going to start training their own large language models, and, you know, maybe your entire work identity gets stolen by a company, right? So say you're working in IT, or you're working in a specific group and you support your users. They take all that information and they put it into a system, a local language model, and create a automated response system for ticketing to close out issues quicker, or to work with other people, you know, based on the training data. They can say, okay, well, this particular tool works this way, this particular tool works that way. And that has part of your personality in it, right? So when they get breached and that model disappears, you can say, okay, reform this email and act as Robert McCurdy. So you could essentially have an instance where entire personalities or fingerprints of actual people can be stolen, right? Maybe in the future we get companies kind of having our avatars or our personalities, right? What happens when an entire company's personality gets breached, or their entire large language model gets breached, or the model for all their, you know, internal stuff that they, whatever. We've already seen large language models leak. We've already seen AI art models leak. That's already happened. So as more information is contained within these large language models, it's sensitive. And as companies rush to take their sensitive data and put it in the cloud instead of training their own models, because it's millions of dollars to do it effectively, you know, that's going to start making things very interesting very quickly, because once someone has information that's valuable at scale, and can use that information with AI, once that information gets leaked, then things can go sideways pretty quickly, right? So that's kind of, we have our work cut out for us, those of us that are in IT and those of us that are in security, because this is only going to get more interesting as AI develops and large language models develop and other types of AI developed, until, you know, the robots take over or whatever. Anyways, I hope that helped somebody. If you have any questions about security or want me to do any workshops or lunch and learns, whatever you want to call it, reach out to me. I'm looking for people to kind of co-host with and interview. Just basic interview questions, fun stuff, nothing crazy or complicated. And just tell stories about things that you're passionate about. Feel free to reach out to me at, freeload101@yahoo.com. That's freeload101@yahoo.com. I said Yahoo, that's right. Y'all take it easy, stay safe.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.